Welcome back to the 9 Deadliest Sins of Communication with your trainer, Ronnie Moore. On this side, you'll learn how many of us tune out. Sometimes we tune out the trivial and the mundane, but often we can inadvertently tune out the important and the necessary, as you're about to learn. And now, here's Ronnie Moore.
Welcome to Sin Number 3, Tuning Out. Listen to Dylan as he gives Taylor a tour of the warehouse operations.
And of course, this is the real bottleneck, especially on Fridays, as I said. But the real killer is the weekly inventory. Any word on changing that? Any word from upstairs on changing the inventory schedule?
No, not yet. I mentioned it to Smithers.
Well, I think we've got to do more than just moving people around on the same Friday schedule.
No, believe me, I made it very clear to him that it's a problem.
No, Taylor, it's more than a problem. It's hitting us on the worst possible day.
Now, look, I mean, wait. We are not going to hire any new people.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting we should. I think it's the schedule that's the real problem. We have to take into consideration the extra overtime.
Oh, here we go again. Blah, blah, blah.
It's killing us. We're sending out more late orders than we ever have before.
Yeah.
And you know the effect that has on returns.
Hey, did I roll up my window?
I mean, maybe it's
yeah, I did.
But I think
wait
all
a
of
minute,
this
did
is
I?
Pretty clear by now. Don't you think?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
An order entry. That's another whole can of worms. How do they expect us to
fill
their orders?
It's clouding up the way in. Oh, I bet you it's going to rain cats and dogs before lunch. Well, I guess we can use it. Yard sure needs it.
I mean, it's just a big snafu here. They're sending the green.
Oh, great. I bet I'll have to mow twice this week.
Can't these guys get the color code together? It's so simple.
This communication sin is called tuning out for a very good reason. Communication is like transmitting a radio signal. And no matter how brilliant your programming, you'll never communicate successfully if the receiver has spun the dial and tuned into his personal station, as did Taylor. Let's take a moment to take a closer look at this common problem. How do we tune out? We talk a lot in communication about the signal that we send, about getting the message put out there, but we don't always talk enough and think enough about how we take the signal in. And of course, if we can't take it in, what we wind up putting out is based on an unclear, incomplete, or downright wrong message. Why do we tune out? Here are 8 reasons, and as we go through these, think about the way that you listen. Ask yourself, do I do this? Number 1, plan the response while the person is still talking. It's interesting because we often are so worried about what we're going to say when the other person stops talking that we're not taking in the entire signal clearly and completely. It's almost as if we listen only to wait for our next turn to talk. And if there's conflict or negative feelings between the sender and the receiver or the speaker and the listener, often what is being planned is not just the response, but the next assault. So as one person is assaulting, the person who is being assaulted isn't listening. The person is tuning out, busy planning his or her next verbal assault. The second reason we tune out is that we're thinking of something other than the incoming signal, traffic that we're facing on the highway, thinking about what we're going to have for dinner, thinking about the weather report or mowing the lawn, like in the vignette. The third reason we tune out is that we're distracted by the speaker's appearance, by speech habits, by a certain accent or gesture. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who had an interesting accent or a strange vocal tic, did a lot of ums and okays, got you distracted or off the message? The fourth reason we tune out is that when we have an emotional reaction to the signal, someone pushes our button, says or does something that makes our emotions flood through us, and therefore we're not concentrating on the message objectively, we're emotionally flooding. The fifth reason we tune out is that we agree or disagree with the message or the content, the signal we're getting, because of the way we feel about the speaker or the sender of the message. Clearly, if we like the person a lot, we want to like what the person is saying. We want to accept gladly the signal that the person is sending us, even if we need to step back and be objective. We should not accept it without evaluation, without analysis. Conversely, if we don't like or respect the sender or the speaker, we often automatically dislike or disagree with the signal, again, based on how we feel about the person attached to that signal or message. The sixth reason we tune out is that we don't wait for the speaker to finish before formulating and sending our response. We interrupt, We finish sentences, and we know that we don't like that, so clearly the other person isn't going to like it either. The seventh reason we tune out is that we jump to a conclusion. We assume what the speaker is going to say, what the speaker means, what the speaker's intentions are, based on just the first few words or sentences. Again, without listening to the entire signal being sent to us. And finally, number eight, we tune out because we don't show attention or respect to someone who is not at our level or above. We don't always do that intentionally, but we do it. Often in the workplace, where there are many levels of authority, we forget that we are no better than others. We may have more authority or make more money. Keep in mind that we can burn a bridge if we don't care about being nice and respectful to everyone. We can burn a bridge by not treating someone with respect just because the person is not at our level. And you may wind up working with this person later, where a good relationship is important. Also, let's not forget that we can often hear something very valuable and important from people at the very front lines of an operation, because they're the ones doing the work. They're the ones who are in the midst of all of it, who often have some very important information to share with us. There are three primary obstacles to good listening. Obstacle one is a discrepancy between the rate of our brains and the rate of our mouths. Think about that internal processor in your head, that voice, that recorder that talks to you often 24 hours a day in negative, non-supportive ways. You know that voice. That voice that you can listen to and will give you messages all day long. That voice, that processor in your brain, processes language from 400 to 600 words per minute. That's the rate. The problem is, or the discrepancy is, that we speak language, our mouths make language, anywhere from 100 to 200 words per minute. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, in a communication, and as the other person's talking to you, instead of listening patiently, you're stressed or you're in a rush, and that inner processor of yours is thinking, come on, finish it. And you've already finished it, anticipated your answer, scripted your answer, and the other person is still talking. The problem is, we don't always want to or know how to slow ourselves down and say, wait a minute. Let's listen to the entire signal before we try to compose a response based on what we've heard. The bad news about that processor in our brains is that it does work so fast, it's hard for it to slow down and listen and take the entire signal in. The good news about the rapidity of that processor or brain is that if we're willing to slow down and take an entire signal in, without worrying about our response, without trying to jump ahead, that rapid processor, that rapid brain, can formulate an answer in just a few seconds. And now, that answer will be based on a complete signal, upon patient listening, and not on anticipating misunderstanding or jumping to conclusions. Which brings us to the second obstacle to good listening. The full name is anticipatory verbal scripting, which really means that as we're listening, instead of trying to understand, hear it all, understand it, and wait and be patient, again, we're often busy scripting our next verbal response. And don't forget that if the history between the parties is not good, we're often scripting our next verbal club or our next verbal assault. The third obstacle to effective listening is the history or the feelings between the parties. Once again, people who like each other, who generally agree with each other, are more likely to listen to the signal with a positive attitude. When people don't like each other, when there isn't respect, when there's poor history, there's often the intention, consciously or not, to dislike, disagree, and not trust the incoming signals. How do you get someone else to tune into you? How do you deal with someone else who's tuning you out? Three ways. Number one, practice incremental feedback. Ensure that your signal is being received clearly and completely, but don't wait until you give the entire signal to check that out. Especially when you're giving a lot of data, a lot of information, several steps, teaching someone a how-to, instead of waiting until you give the entire signal, where part or much or all of it has been lost, stop at logical intervals, at logical increments, and ask for feedback from your receiver. For example, let's say that you're giving 8 or 10 different things for someone to do for you next week. Instead of waiting until you give all 8 or 10, after one, two, three things that logically go together, ask for feedback. Is that clear? Am I being clear? Do you understand? Is there anything I can explain about those three things? And once you get the feedback that the person does or does not understand, you can either clarify what you've covered so far or acknowledge that the person is clear so far and move on to the next group or increment of things. This is very helpful because often we get people tuning out to us who could be very good listeners, but we've overwhelmed them. We've dumped too much information on them without stopping at logical places, grouping our information in increments that are easier to manage, to listen to, and then clarify. A second way that we can get someone to tune in is to help him or her stop leaping to conclusions. If your listener leaps to an erroneous conclusion, stop sending the signal and ask for reasons. What have I said that brings you to that conclusion? Have I done something that makes you think that? In other words, again, don't wait for the communication to be over, where it's harder to go back through all of that signal to find out what caused the erroneous conclusion. As soon as your listener leaps to a conclusion, ask what brought your listener to that conclusion and dispel any erroneous conclusions that you're hearing. The third way that we get people to tune in is by learning how to handle interruptions without escalating conflict. People interrupt for many reasons. They interrupt because they're impatient, because they have a time commitment, because they're not good listeners, or because they, again, are leaping to conclusions or finishing our sentences, because their rapid brains don't want to slow down. And what we need to do, what you need to do when that happens, is politely but firmly ask to finish. Thank you for letting me finish. I haven't finished yet. Let me tell you one more thing before you answer me. Let me make sure that I'm being clear. Without picking up a verbal club and beating up the person for interrupting, make it very clear that you haven't finished and that you need to say one, two, or three more things. Also note that if you're dealing with a chronic interrupter, you may want to add to your words a nonverbal sign that the interrupting is not acceptable. In other words, you may want to raise your arm, not in a nasty way, but in sort of a reminder at a 45-degree angle, just lift up your arm and keep your hand up to let them know, I'm not finished. Thank you for waiting. One more thing. And the reason for that is, with someone who interrupts often, chronically, even if your words are positive and firm, keep in mind that the problem here is that the person is not listening. And if the person is not listening, the person may not hear your verbal or spoken objection to the interruption. When you give a nonverbal cue, arm up, you make it clear, just one more, holding up a finger, one more minute. What you're telling that person who doesn't listen well is, just let me finish, and then I'm ready to listen to you. Let's go back to our vignette with Dylan and Taylor. Let's see if Dylan will be able to get Taylor to tune in to his message.
But more than anything, we've got to do something about the Friday inventory. Don't you agree?
Hmm?
Don't you think we could change that fairly easily without causing too many problems?
Well...
The inventory. Friday's always a big problem for us.
We're not going to get rid of inventory.
No, I never thought we would. I'm just suggesting
and
that
And we're certainly not going to push it off to the night shift people.
No, Taylor, what makes you think that I want to get rid of the inventory or that I want to give it over to the night shift?
Because you're always complaining about it.
I'm bringing it up because it's a real problem for us, right. And I need your help to fix it.
I brought it up to Smithers.
All right, I'm probably not making myself clear. I'm not suggesting any big sweeping change.
Sorry,
I think
Dylan,
if we simply...
the Triple B shipment's waiting for your sign-off.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alice.
Here we go again. Yeah, you know, just figures that it rains today. I just washed my car.
Alice, give me a couple minutes, will you? I'll be right with you. Thanks.
Oh, boy, I better get going.
I'm sorry about that interruption, Taylor, but like I said, I don't think this is a big deal.
Good. Yeah, good. I better get going.
Let me tell you what I think. If we were to shift the inventory to Monday afternoon, it would give us a chance to take care of the early morning rush, and then we could really utilize that dead time in the afternoon to do the inventory. I mean, you do see how shifting to Monday makes sense, don't you?
Well, Monday could work, but no overtime.
No, Taylor, have I ever suggested overtime?
No.
But you do see how this might utilize our existing resources, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
With the added benefit that we could eliminate late shipments, which really do cost us overtime.
Well, that makes sense.
How about this? I'll type up a proposal.
Okay.
You take a look at it and give it to Smithers.
Okay, good.
Great. I'll have it on your desk this afternoon. Okay. Oh, wow, it's really starting to come down out there. Oh, look, some yahoo left his windows open.
That's more like it. Dylan was able to get Taylor to tune in by using the tools I covered. Dylan requested feedback incrementally to ensure Taylor was receiving the message. He also stopped Taylor's conclusion leaping by asking, "Have I ever suggested overtime?" And finally, he persisted in clearly restating his message and confirming that he was understood, loud and clear. And if Taylor's interruption had gotten in the way, Dylan could have gone one step further and given a nonverbal stop signal. But what if the shoe's on the other foot? What if you're the one tuning out? Here are four ways you can listen better and avoid tuning out. Number one, practice active rather than passive listening. Show that you're really paying attention, and one of the ways that you can do that is understanding the difference between acknowledgement and agreement. Have you ever had someone say the same thing to you 8, 9, 10 times, again and again and again, when you heard it the first time? Often your sender, your speaker, may be repetitive because the person doesn't feel as if you're listening. The problem is not that you're not listening, you heard it. You are listening. The problem is that you don't agree with it. Understanding acknowledgement versus agreement means that you say to your speaker or sender, "I hear you. I understand you mean A, B, C, D." You clarify. You give feedback. "I know you mean. I know you want. I understand you said." And you make it very clear that you understood. And then, if you don't agree with it, then you say something like, "I hear you. I know you want A, B, C, but I don't want that. I know you meant 1, 2, 3, but I see it differently. I know you think A, B, C, D, and I don't agree with you." In other words, if you are not acknowledging that you're listening because you're afraid that that person is going to confuse that acknowledgement with agreement, then separate them and give your acknowledgement. And then, if you don't agree, say you don't agree. The problem is, when we don't acknowledge that we're listening, that person is being repetitive again and again and again because the person thinks, "This time you'll get it. This time you'll listen." The fact is, you listened 8 times ago. You just didn't want to give that acknowledgement for fear that it would be confused with agreement. The second way we can avoid tuning out is to reject those irrelevant, those stray thoughts, the desire to speed up, to close the signal, to formulate the answer while the other person is still talking. Teach your brain, that processor, some patience. And note that it will benefit you because if you will force yourself to take in the entire signal, that rapid brain of yours in just seconds' time can formulate an answer that is less likely to result in misunderstanding and more likely to be on target because it's based on a complete signal that you took in, not on a signal that you aborted because you anticipated the response before you took in the entire signal. Number three, practice incremental clarification. If your sender or speaker does not have the skill of incremental feedback, of presenting or sending the signal in logical increments, then you as the listener or the receiver, you need to do what the sender or speaker is not doing. And that is at logical intervals, when your speaker pauses or gets a new thought, stop the conversation for just a second. Hold up your hand again and say, "Okay, let me make sure I understand what I've heard so far." And you do this in a non-judgmental, non-threatening way, always expressing your desire to understand. People want to be understood. It's unlikely that even a high-strung speaker is going to say, "No, don't stop me. I don't want you to understand me." Everybody wants to be understood. Ask for clarification periodically. Restate what you've heard incrementally at logical intervals, not after the entire signal has been sent to you, because there's a far greater likelihood here of error and misunderstanding because too much information has been downloaded to you. And number four, practice critical listening. If you're getting a lot of vague, general language, language full of adjectives, if you're being told that you're irresponsible, if you're being told that the company is not doing well, notice the adjectives here. What does irresponsible mean? What does not doing well mean? It's very hard to understand specifics when we don't understand how to quantify those specifics. So if someone says you are irresponsible, it is appropriate to ask, "What am I doing? What am I saying that makes you think that?" Understand that we cannot change behaviors unless people talk in behaviors. In fact, if you want to change someone's behavior, it's important that you talk in measurable, quantifiable behaviors. Behaviors meaning something that we do or something that we don't do. And the way that we change behavior is to get someone to start doing something the person is not doing or stop doing something the person is doing. We are more likely to achieve that if the language is behavioral. If someone is talking to you and you're trying to understand, the defensiveness needs to be put down and you need to ask for the specifics you're not receiving. If you're getting a lot of adjectives, general, vague language, it is critical to ask, what am I saying? What am I doing? What do we mean by the company is not doing well? Percentages, numbers, sales figures, history. Otherwise, we have a pile of adjectives that can mean one thing to your sender and another thing to you, the receiver or the listener. Also know that critical listening means separating the message or the signal from how you feel about the speaker or the sender, whether you like the speaker a lot or you don't like the speaker at all. Understand that, especially in the workplace where objectivity is necessary, when we have to make decisions that benefit a project, a company, a department, it is important to be able to step back and separate how we feel, good or bad, about the sender of that signal from the merits or lack of merits of the signal. For example, if someone is suggesting the purchase of equipment or someone is asking for a new budget, it's important to be able to review the pros, the cons, the issues, and make decisions based on the merits or lack of merits of the issue. When we like the sender a lot or we dislike the sender a lot, it's very easy to let our feelings about the sender color what should be a rational, positive, appropriate decision. Remember Dylan, who got Taylor to stop tuning him out? Now let's return to see if he's able to carry that lesson into the way he relates as a listener to others in his personal communication.
Dispatch mixed up another delivery. I just got off the radio with the delivery guy. He's been wandering around in circles looking for a non-existent address.
Oh, again. Did you figure it out?
Well, yeah, I figured it out after going through piles and piles of paperwork. I mean, how long do we have to put up with these knuckleheads in dispatch? Really, all they have to do is walk over to the printer...
Here we go again. Another tirade against the dispatchers.
It's not like they're performing rocket surgery or anything.
And rocket surgery? We'll try rocket science.
Wait a minute.
I'm tuning her out just as Taylor does to me.
And the yellow copy and throw them away, and then they just use the pink copy to figure out their routing schedule. How hard can it be?
Wait a minute. Did you say they're working from the pink copies?
Yeah.
The copies that are barely readable because they've been printed through 18 carbon papers?
Oh, yeah.
Like that?
You're right.
Now why did they throw away all these readable copies and try struggling with this pink thing?
Well, right here it says dispatch at the bottom.
All right, so they are knuckleheads.
Or we are, for letting this go on so long. How did you figure that out?
Oh, simple, really. Genius. Pure genius.
That's an excellent example of tuning back in. Dylan rejected his irrelevant thoughts and regained his focus on Alice and her signal. It's just that simple. If you're dealing with someone else who is tuning out, can you identify the reason for this person's straying attention? Are there obstacles to this person's listening to you? Identify which applies best to your situation and plan your strategy to deal with it. If you need to improve your listening skills, decide the best way to keep yourself on track. Is it acknowledging the speaker, rejecting those stray thoughts, or seeking incremental clarification?
This concludes Side 3. Thanks for listening. Please turn over the tape as the 9 Deadliest Sins of Communication with Ronnie Moore continues.